That would be for biblical purposes, and that would be the New Testament saints used it for taking care of widows and orphans and proclaiming the gospel. The average church in America spends 70% of their money on salaries, buildings, and goofy youth programs. Yeah, well, that's what they do, and all I'm telling you is, if you look up, we're going to have a testing up later today at don'tperish.com, and we show you that any gospel, forget head coverings, I got articles on all that on my teaching blog, thousands of articles for free.
But, right now by Pastor Dale Partridge, it's called The Coverings of Christ.
By who?
Pastor Dale Partridge, he's from Relearn.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him, but any gospel that does not call you out of the world, meaning politics, sports, entertainment, cultural fashion, hobbies that are indulged, like marathon running. I met so many Christians yesterday telling me, well, I run because God gave me the talent to and I love to do it. Well, that's your carnal flesh. And so any gospel that doesn't call you out of the world, if you look, act, talk, you're covered with tattoos. If you look, act, talk, and dress like the world in any way, the gospel has not called you out of the world. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And look at Israel, look at Noah, look at the prophets, look at Jacob, look at anyone, the disciples, they were all called out and different from the world. The American church system is just like the world. They're merged with it. Okay, and so this is my contention. Your gospel is false. Because, well, theirs is. I don't know what yours is, but since you're going here, you must be united to it.
We just started coming.
Okay. All right. My name is Q-Post, by the way. What's your name?
My name is Michael.
Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. I am making an audio recording, so you know. I do that for safety purposes. So let's start with the gospel. Jesus Christ shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. He's the only way. Amen? All right. So he dies, sheds his blood, comes, lives a perfect life. He did three main things. He did many things, but three main things. He came to show us who God is and what the kingdom is, how to live. Jesus was not like the world, of the world, didn't dress like the world, didn't talk like the world, didn't act like the world. He's our model. So is Paul, so is Peter, so is John. None of them did. So he shows us the kingdom of God. We'll get back to the two kingdoms. And then he sheds his blood to cover our sin, but it only gets covered. It's not carte blanche. It's not like and I don't know, you don't have much on your website here for gospel. All it says is anybody who puts their faith in Jesus gets salvation. That's part of it. Many evangelicals teach Jesus died to cover all your past, present, all your future sins, that you're saved no matter what, and you're guaranteed salvation. The Bible does not teach that. Yep, the Bible does not teach it. Actually, Roman Catholicism, that is false, doesn't even teach that. They actually believe you got to continue in your works. The problem is they have a bunch of man-made works, and I stand against them. So he sheds his blood, which if you repent and you turn from sin, go read the Old Testament, read the New Testament. Always, 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 God required that you repent and forsake your sin. Are you married? Okay, if your wife, I use this example all the time, do you love her? If she had a boyfriend and you found out and you said, wow, you crushed me, I think I can forgive you. What's the first thing you're going to ask her to do?
Leave the boyfriend.
Forsake it. What if she says, Michael, I want you and him. I'm going to go back to him twice a year. I'm just a sinner, Michael. I'm going to go back to him twice a year. Would you go for that? So you hold your marriage covenant pretty high, and you should. I do. If you ever notice in churchianity, they push God's covenant in the gutter and they say, you know, God knows you're going to sin a lot. You can't help yourself. You're nothing but a big sinner. That's not true. Right. And most non-denoms have that. And I can, by the fruit of this place, I can say if they don't preach that, they definitely allow it and promote it. So
I will say this. I had the same questions about joining this church because I grew up in the previous version of this church. And I didn't see the scripture lived, and that's why I left. And when I came back and I met Pastor Dan, the new pastor, I had a sit down with him and I said, hey, listen, I don't like what has been here before.
Yeah, but see, the problem is the new pastor, the fruit is still there. So let's keep going. So Christ shed blood, covers us. First John tells us, hold on, sorry, I'm preaching the gospel. First John tells us that we have cleansing. How? Do you know 1 John 1:7? It's a real famous verse. 1 John 1:7 says, we can be cleansed by Jesus if we walk in the truth. The two go together.
Like in Luke 14, Romans
8:46,
it says, you must
hate
your mother,
hate
your brother.
Yep. Amen. Amen. So faith and works. Works are part of our salvation. We can't work our way to heaven. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. But works are part of our salvation. You said you're married.
Yes.
Do you love your, you said you love your wife.
Absolutely.
Are you faithful to her?
Absolutely.
That's the fruit and your works that you love her. Now, if you told me you love her and I saw you downtown with another woman,
yeah.
Am I going to believe?
No.
How come all the American Christians say they love God, but they sin? Hold on. They sin against God by loving the things of the world.
Right.
James 4:4.
You're referring to the original Hebrew text on what it says in the commandments. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. The original Hebrew text actually says, do not live. Do not say you are Christian.
Yeah, it goes much deeper.
Do not live in that.
Yeah.
Then you are a false preacher.
Yeah, it goes much, much deeper. So by his shed blood, I'm going through the gospel here, we can be cleansed if we forsake and turn from sin. Let me go to Hebrews 10:26. This is the danger for all the American church system. Hebrews 10:26 says clearly, if we willfully sin, what's a willful sin? So you have a mistress, you keep doing it. You know Christmas is pagan and Paul and Peter and John never celebrated it. And you keep doing it. It's a willful sin. No, I'm not saying if you keep doing it. There's no sacrifice for it. Your wife, you just admitted, if your wife doesn't give up the bow, your forgiveness can't go to her, can it?
In your opinion and also in Scripture, where would you say then the difference is made between the covenant of the Old Testament and then after the death of Jesus Christ, and we have the new covenant, where it says that we don't have to, in a physical form...
Right, we're not killing animals anymore.
Exactly.
Christ is now... There's not much that's changed. The moral law is still in place. The Ten Commandments are still in place with one minor alteration. Do you know what that is? It would be that Jesus is now our Sabbath rest. We don't keep Saturday Sabbath. We're not Sabbatarians. So the moral law is still in place. All those 613 laws given to Israel, those were ceremonial. Okay? 613, roughly.
I thought the Torah was 693.
No, it's roughly, if you look at the Septuagint, it's roughly 613, but that's kind of a moot point. Those were ceremonial law in the nation of Israel with the Levitical priesthood, with a temple. This is not the temple of God.
Right.
This is not even the house of God. Okay? They always call the church their building, or the building their church, and they call it the house of God. It's not. The house of God is true biblical holy saints.
So where would you defer that then between the difference in Scripture saying where three or more are gathered? Versus a physical, because you're referring to like
the body of Christ is the gathered people.
I'm allowing you to finish, just give me a second.
It's the gathered people.
So you're saying in the Old Testament we refer to like the tent of prayer, the altar tent, and now we're saying this is a gathering.
It's the gathering. The building's done away with.
Right, but
the building doesn't matter anymore. The body of Christ is the house of God.
Correct.
The people.
So
we're living stones, Peter says.
Correct.
Test yourself. We're going to have a testing up at don'tperish.com later today to show you why this is not of God. It's unbiblical and sinful. You must repent. So I'm trying to get through the gospel here. Good questions, too. By his shed blood, you must turn and forsake sin. You live in sin, it's on your record. All sin you give to Jesus is cleansed. You live in worldliness, feminization, false gospels, it's on you. That's the second thing Jesus did. The first thing was show us God's kingdom, sheds his blood, he rises again and defeats death. We're all headed to death. I'm older than you guys, but we're all headed to death. So that's the three things he did. The beginning of the gospel is faith in Jesus shed blood. Most Americans that I talk to, many of them, really it's about down to half and half now, believe in Jesus. The other half are indifferent, mockers, atheists, Muslims, whatever. Because I street preach all over America. This is what I do full time. I retired early to do this, and I don't take people's money. I fund myself. So by his death, burial, and resurrection, we place our faith. Most Americans stop there, and they say, I believe in Jesus. The problem is, hardly, I'm going to say it, and you said none, hardly any Americans, I know a small handful, I do. My wife's one of them. She's right there. That actually follow and obey Jesus. Many are believing. A lot of these people will leave here, and if it was football season, they're going to go. I've preached at the Packer game. They're going to go, and they're going to mock us and say, we do that in church on Sunday. They live two lives, a church life and a worldly carnal life. That's not the body of Christ, sir. That's not the... Are you the new pastor out here?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay. So that's not the body of Christ. Are you related to the old pastor?
What? No.
No, you're not. No blood relation? Okay. Because when I looked on the internet, it's like, and then he came out, I thought you guys looked alike. I thought, you know, if you were father, son. No. So by his shed blood, you place your faith. Okay, that's the beginning of the gospel. You can't work your way to heaven. We need his perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for us who knew no sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. Now, here's the big wrestle match. How do we get that righteousness? People just say, faith alone, grace alone. No, now one Bible verse says faith alone, grace alone. Faith alone, grace alone doesn't exist. It's never alone. Keep going back to marriage. You're married and your proof that you love your wife is you take care of her, you're faithful to her. You find a man who's cheating and beating his wife, nobody believes he loves her. But that's the American church system. They live two different lives. They're holy in their building on Sunday, not even biblically holy. The women aren't covered. The men are dressed like the culture. They're keeping pagan holidays. But we'll keep going through the gospel. So by faith, you must repent. Repent. Faith in Christ, repentance. Repentance is metanoia. Change your mind, and then everybody goes, well, I repented once. Not everybody. Many people tell me in the streets, I repented once. And I go, you repented once. That's like loving your wife once. I loved my children once. A cop pulls you over and you go, officer, I obeyed the law once. He's going to go, it's a daily thing. Here's your ticket. So repentance is a daily thing, okay? And so what is repentance? What do you have to repent of?
It's daily death.
Sin. And what is sin? Transgression against the law. But most people didn't go deep enough. Most people think in America, sin is like drunkenness, adultery. Homosexuality is a big one because that's an abomination to God. And they go to those, and those are all sin. But I don't hear preachers teach on this, ready? And I don't know if he's ever preached on this. Proverbs 6:17. Do you know what else is an abomination to God?
Go ahead.
A proud look.
Sure.
Do you know what that means? That means if you dress yourself up, first of all, let's say I'm a millionaire and I walk around going, I got a giant tour bus. We live in a camper van. And it's a little tiny camper van. Let's say I had $1 million tour bus and I'm walking around going, that's mine, I'm rich. That's proud. Yeah. God hates that. You're an abomination.
What we should boast in is boasting in the Lord.
And amen. But let's lower it down. If you do your hair and you go, man, I look good. You get tattoos. Man, I like these. They kind of make me stand out. You wear clothing that makes you look good. That's a proud look. You're to cover your form. We already covered this. We're not going to go into it here. I got articles on all of it. Women are to cover their heads. Men's heads are to be uncovered. You really should take your hat off when you talk about the things of God to respect God. 1 Corinthians 11, clear. He don't preach with a hat on. It really, you really should. I really encourage you, young man, to really think about that. Now, I'm bald, and my head used to cook in the sun. I got over it. God gave me grace. You're laughing. Literally, I used to cook. I'm a street preacher. I stand out in the sun. We go to Florida and Texas and South Carolina in the wintertime because there's not many people want to stand out here when it's 20 below here. I cooked, but guess what? God gave me grace. And I was telling him I used to wear a baseball hat, and I believe men's heads should be uncovered. But here's the problem. I had a hat on. I start witnessing to you. Got to take my hat off. Then I'm driving and I want to pray to the Lord. Got to take my hat off. I decided, unless it's zero and I'm in a winter climate, I'll put a knit hat on, so, and then I gotta remember to keep uncovering
that thought process then, because you're making two parallels, and I challenge you with this question. In that thought process, when you, let's say we're talking about the American evangelical Western church, right, we agree that sometimes the worship, the building, the clothing, those things become the idol instead of what is being preached. So in your
Well, I don't know if it's an idol, it's just you're just not obeying and they're walking in an abomination of pride.
So do you think that on the other side, and this is an honest question, this is not a jest, but in an honest question, do you think that in the same way we can take anger and our just nature, because we want justification for living in Christ and living of Christ, do you think that that can also become an idol in the way that we witness and preach and everything?
Anger?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
You know,
anger and preaching.
Someone could say, you know,
test yourself to the Word of God. We have a testing coming out at don'tperish.com. We're going to be putting a testing up just so,
we,
so you know.
We sometimes lose the ability.
You're going to get mad at me because I'm on your property?
No.
Sure? I'm making an audio, so.
That's
okay. So I got you on audio saying I can stand the ground. I have to stand closer because I have a bad ear.
No, that's fine. I can barely hear either. But the question in that, and the parallel in that I'm asking is that, in your opinion, and based off of, I'm assuming every opinion you have is based in Scripture, you know.
It better be.
Where,
if it's not, correct
amen,
me.
Right? Yeah. Where then do you think that we in our anger for justification of wanting people to understand Christ and understand the Word, can that also become just as much of an idol as the clothes we wear?
I wouldn't call it an idol, but guess what? There's righteous anger. Did Jesus make a whip?
Amen. I don't believe that Jesus
Did you know something?
Christ.
Let me teach.
Kind.
I don't even know if the pastor knows this. How long have you been a pastor?
20 years.
What in Galatians 5 does it cover the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
The fruit of the Spirit.
Okay. So yeah, you're right. Fruit is what I'm going for. Thank you. Not gifts. Gifts would be in Corinthians.
Yeah.
So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and people always. I'm going to give you an example. People always. Oh, I already dealt with you. Hey, make sure you check your video out.
It was nice talking to you.
No, I rebuked you because you need it, sir. This man's listening and calmly talking. You were trying to give me a bunch of heresy, sir. I don't stand down for false teachers. I appreciate your demeanor. His was nothing like that. You can see it on video. You need to repent, sir. 1 Timothy 5 says, publicly rebuke those in sin. Go look it up. That's what Paul said.
Yeah,
he got a rebuke because I told him the sin of his body. I gave him a gospel card, which I want to give you.
Yeah,
and he didn't even read it. I said, your gospel's not right. He didn't even look at it. He didn't read it. He starts telling me how the Holy Spirit met him one time and told him.
So that's an example right there.
I don't want to hear it. I stopped him. Paul said their mouths must be silenced.
So that's my example.
You start telling me heresy and sin, I'm shutting you down and I'm leaving.
Sure. So that's my example right there. And that's my question to you.
That's righteous anger.
Because I'm trying to grow in faith. But
yeah.
Can our righteous anger ever parallel our pride?
Well,
and then
I'm preaching Christ, is it pride? Did Paul boast in Christ?
He did, but to me, what I just heard and what I just witnessed right there is I witnessed your personal anger hit head on.
Righteous anger, because he's misled people for decades, deceived them into hell.
That's fine, but what I'm saying is that in that moment, all I saw in you was your personal anger, not your righteous
anger. You saw 20 seconds of me dealing with a false teacher. Did Jesus, how many times did Jesus call the Pharisees hypocrites? 23.
For sure.
8 times.
But why did he call them hypocrites?
Why? Because they live like him. They say what you should do, but they don't do it. They made up man-made traditions, pagan holidays, false gospels, worldliness.
Sure.
So don't judge me by 20 seconds. You need to go look at my street preaching videos. You need to see how I handle homeless people in the gutter and how I tenderly bring the gospel to them. You need to see how I deal with a pastor who's not sitting here trying to talk over me, telling me, get off my property, calling the police on me, running up. He threatened me with the police. You want to shut somebody down real quick? Lisa, you need to watch out how you judge. You just saw 20 seconds. He needed that. He needed that.
I don't think he's judging. I think
he threatened me with the police. And where,
I'm talking about him.
I know. Is this a public sidewalk?
Oh, yeah.
Do I look threatening with this sign?
I think
I'm saying your ex-pastor called the police on me, so I'm just adjusting why you see righteous anger.
Sure.
Paul had it. Jesus had it. How did John the Baptist treat the Pharisees?
And I agree with
you. Nice? Did he make them cookies and coffee?
I was simply asking that question because I'm trying to learn.
Yeah. So it's not pride if it's backed up by the word of God.
I want to say I apologize.
And it's a righteous anger.
I don't know you. Okay. I wasn't trying to make a character.
Yeah, don't judge wrong.
I was just asking.
See, and I'm not judging this place wrong because I might have never been here. I looked on the website. I see the fruit.
But you kind of did. You. So
I see the fruit, though.
Yeah, but you don't know any of these people.
I know the fruit.
But how, okay, so
I don't judge hearts, I judge fruit.
No, okay, so what's the fruit then? What fruit?
So the fruit is I saw a couple women come out that are dressed like harlots. That's one.
Okay.
And now,
so we don't allow those people in our church. Is that kind of the story of the church? We don't. If somebody walks in looking or acting a certain way, we don't want them to come in. We have to cast them out.
No, what you do is, first of all, and again, I'm getting off the gospel here.
No, I think this is part of the gospel.
No, I'm getting off the gospel here. The body gathering is not for anybody to just walk in from the streets. That wasn't the habit in the New Testament.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
The habit in the New Testament.
That's a weird thought.
But that was not. The body is for blood-bought saints, and if somebody walks in,
this is the body gathered.
It's not.
We are the body.
Yeah.
That's the body gathered. What you did in there.
Some of those.
But you just said that's a tradition we shouldn't uphold.
That was your system where you gathered with.
I think.
Did you worship in there? Would you call
some
worship?
Some people worshipped in there. Yeah.
Okay. Did you get up and preach and teach to saints?
I did.
Okay.
No. I preached and taught.
So you've abrogated and altered God's design. God says.
That's way
first
wrong.
Of all.
That's
again,
way
I'll
wrong.
Throw a bunch of stuff at
no,
you. You
no,
seem
no,
like
wrong.
A seeker. He might end up. Him and I will not catch. Sunday's not the Lord's day. Let me throw some more stuff at you.
Well, hold on,
Sunday's not the Lord's day.
Let me finish what I was saying.
The building-centered system is not of God. You don't sing. Ready? You don't sing and pray and worship with people that you don't even know if they're born of God. You don't do that. You don't do that. Paul said, lay hands on no man quickly.
What about the Mount of Olives? Didn't Jesus preach to people who knew nothing?
He preached to them.
Yeah, that's what
there was no
morning.
Worship service there.
What?
Meaning your worship service, meaning singing and praying. That was always done with his closest disciples. Ready? This is going to blow your mind. Jesus never prayed with anyone.
Sure.
Give me one scripture. Now, he was Jesus. His disciples prayed with each other. They never prayed with anyone other than their disciples. The closest you'll get, Paul on a Roman ship.
He did it
for a reason. They were all scared. They were going down. He said, don't worry, men. We're not going to drown. Sure. He didn't pray with them. What did he do? He blessed the food. Sure. He just blessed the food. It was his prayer to God with the food. He didn't join hands with Roman soldiers.
So what about in the tribe?
So that's a whole wrong model.
Okay, that's fine. I'm good
when
with
a stranger walks in, we pull them to the side, whether they look homeless, they look like a hooker, whatever. We pull them to the side and we minister to them the gospel. They don't join the prayer and the singing. You don't do that. That's totally separate.
What would be your plan then for like Peter preaching?
First of all, it's in Israel where all those people are godly believers.
Bro, you've got to let other people talk.
I'm really enjoying this conversation.
They're godly believers.
You've got to let people talk.
But I'm helping. They're godly believers.
But I don't need... But listen, you've got to let... It's very rude and disrespectful.
The context has to be... They're godly believers.
You've got to let people talk. It is rude.
Explain that to me. Were they godly believers?
Can you give them a second to try to...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, they were not.
They were?
No.
They weren't Israelites?
Not all of them were.
They weren't believers in Messiah coming? Are believers?
You've got to let me finish a statement, man. It is rude. Hold on. It is rude and disrespectful to continue to interrupt me, but you want us to listen to you. You're doing it again. You're doing it right now.
As I told your pastor, okay, I told you, we'll knock heads. As I told your pastor,
we're not knocking heads. You can't
I told your pastor, in 30 years, he doesn't have doctrine right, and you're here, and you don't have it right. Why should I listen to you?
How do you know my doctrine?
Because I see your fruit. I looked at your website.
But you've never heard me preach.
It doesn't matter. I looked at your website.
Oh, so you're judging.
I looked at your website.
What does my website have anything to do with?
Your website tells your truth, what you believe.
Okay, what did it say? That was so wrong.
You just said that the people gathered in Israel, you just said they weren't really followers of God.
No, I said not all of them were followers of God. They had to repent of their sins.
Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit falls and then they all became believers. That's not the scenario here. That's not the same scenario
here. What happened in here today.
Sir, I look at the fruit. You keep pagan holidays. You have a false gospel that doesn't call you out of the world.
Okay, says who though?
Me and your website.
But when's the last
Christmas
time?
And Easter are pagan holidays.
Okay.
You keep them.
What do you mean we keep
them? You practice them.
Meaning what? Exactly.
You acknowledge them and you honor them. They're pagan holidays handed down by the Roman Catholics.
But what do you mean we honor them? What do we do to honor them?
You practice them and keep them.
We don't practice Christmas.
On Easter.
We don't open
here
Christmas.
You go. Ready? You make Jesus a liar. Will you listen to this? You make Jesus a liar. Do you practice Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday?
We have a service on Sunday, every Sunday.
Okay, but do you acknowledge or in any way, if I look back on your website, am I going to find anything on Good Friday?
I think
nothing.
Oh, well, on our website ever before I got here?
Probably. So Good Friday. Jesus is made a liar by Good Friday and Sunday morning. And if you practice
Sunday morning?
Hold on. If you practice Sunday morning, you're already a liar. He didn't rise on Sunday.
Here's the thing.
He didn't rise on Sunday.
Who cares when he rose? We don't practice
Good Friday. We allow our
folks, I'm going to have a testing up at don'tperish.com. It'll show you why this is unbiblical.
What day did you rise?
First of all, it does matter because Jesus perfect?
What day was
now you're talking over my answer. I'm going to tell you. Jesus was our perfect Messiah. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Did he ever sin or lie?
No.
How many days and nights did he say he'd be in the grave?
Three days.
Give me 3 days and three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning. Now's your chance.
I understand what you're saying.
Now's your chance.
No. But was he crucified on Friday or was he crucified on Wednesday?
So you admit he wasn't in the grave 3 days and three nights.
I never said he was.
Friday night to Sunday morning.
So are you?
I don't know what day he was crucified.
But first, was he in the grave 3 days and three nights? By his word.
By his word, yes.
Can you get 3 days and three?
Okay. But I never said
so. It's a lie.
We're not arguing that.
You're practicing Sunday morning.
We do every Sunday.
Okay. No. Resurrection Sunday. Jesus died on a Wednesday.
Yes, I agree with you.
And here's why. He died on the day before.
We don't need the math. We don't need the math.
Yeah, but you're practicing Easter Sunday resurrection. That's a lie. So it's a pagan holiday. You practice Christmas as a pagan holiday.
The first century Christians changed it to Sunday, not us.
No, they didn't change it to Sunday.
They worshiped on Sunday. Yes, they did.
No, they